Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour on Blog Talk Radio. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. This Bible study is being recorded on October the 11th, year of our Lord, 2023. We did have connection problems on last night. Our Bible study is usually on Tuesday night. But as I said, we had connection problems on last night. And so I'm recording this Bible study on Wednesday night so that you can hear it in its entirety. Most of you who will hear this Bible study, you will only be able to hear it over the internet. There will be no callers in tonight for this Bible study. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person service. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services of First Baptist. Our service starts each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. 10 a.m., we are in the sanctuary at First Baptist. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the service there. We also want to invite you to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. First Baptist of Holly Springs, you will find more information about the church there. Now, you got to remember, when you go there, make sure you type in First Baptist Holly Springs. There's a First Baptist in every city in America. So you got to specify what First Baptist you're looking for. We are First Baptist Holly Springs, and we are located in North Carolina. So go and look at that page, that Facebook page, and you'll find more information about the church. You'll find more information about the activities that are going on, our calendar. And speaking of that, on the fourth Sunday of this month, the fourth Sunday of October, we will be celebrating 157 years that the Lord has blessed First Baptist. Our special guest for that morning will be Reverend Otis Byrd. He's going to come and bring the message. You are invited to come and be a part of the 157th celebration of First Baptist of Holly Springs. Also, on that Facebook page, you'll find the Sunday morning service. If you're out of the area and you cannot come and be with us on Sunday morning, you can certainly turn to our Facebook page and you can watch our Sunday morning service. As I said earlier, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., we are in the sanctuary worshiping the Lord. You are invited to watch over Facebook Live. Also on the Facebook page, you'll find the link for the Bible study and the call-in number for the Bible study. If you would like to call in and speak to me directly in the studio, that number is 845-241-9839, area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can speak to me directly in the studio, or you can go to the internet and you can hear the complete Bible study over the internet. We thank God for all of you who are continuing to support the house of God. We pray that you will continue to do so. Now, there are three ways that you can actually do that, actually four ways. You can come to church. That's number one. Amen. You can come to church and you can bring your tithes, offerings, and contributions to the house of God, or you can mail them in. Go to our first Facebook page. That's the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page. Find the correct mailing address and you can mail your tithes, offerings, and contributions into the church. Or you can stop by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30 each Sunday morning, and you can drop off your contributions, or you can use our Cash App. We do have a Cash App with the letters FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Holly Springs. Now, you got to put the dollar sign before that. Dollar sign FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Holly Springs. You can be a contributor and a supporter to the house of God tonight. Praying for those who are sick, those who are shut in, those who are going through. So many people are going through at this time. So many people are sick in the hospital, in the rest home, and in home. And then we thank God that he is still in the blessing business. Of course, our prayers go out to them who are bereaved, those who have lost their loved ones. And we're going to be talking more about that in the next week or so. And we're going to have a program at First Baptist about that. We're going to be talking about that next week. I'll give you more information about that. So we're in prayer for those who are going through. That's what it's all about. Those who are going through for whatever reason, for whatever the situation is. It may be sickness. It may be financial difficulty. It may be relationship-wise. It may be trouble in the home. It may be trouble on your job. maybe trouble in the church, whatever you're going through. Somebody once said, if it's not one thing, it's another. Always something. And so whatever it is that you find yourself dealing with, we pray God's blessing upon you. Let us pray as we start our Bible study. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this night of Bible study. We pray now, God, that as we go into your word, we have the faith to believe and trust in your word and know that your word will guide us and lead us and give us correction for our lives. We thank you, God, for the instruction that you left through the holy word. We pray now, God, as we go into this word, that you will touch somebody in a mighty way. Somebody's listening to this word, Father, needs a touch from you. God, allow your spirit to be with them tonight. Give them courage. Give them joy. Give them victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Our study tonight, as I said before, might not be any caller, so it might not be as long as normal, because we usually retain about 15 minutes for callers to speak and to make discussions. But since there are no callers tonight, it may not be as long as normal. Now, our lesson tonight is coming from the book of James. We've been in the book of James for the last maybe 3-4 weeks. James, second chapter. We're going to start in verse 14. I'm going to pause while you find that. James, second chapter, starting in verse 14. Our lesson is called Faith Without Works is Dead. I know you've heard that many times. Faith without works is dead. It comes from this particular scripture that we're about to discuss tonight. This is a continuation of James's letter to the believers on why the actual practice of one's faith and a day-to-day living is more important than one's statement of faith. With the completion of the teaching on the practice of faith, James shifted to the underlying principles of faith, lifestyle, and attitude of faith that followers must have. James clearly states, faith by itself is not enough unless it produces good deeds. It is deeds are useless if there is no faith, and faith is useless if there are no deeds. Believers' attitudes of faith put God's love in motion. God's love is shown when believers open their hearts to receive the poor and those who are not like them. So, you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do and not by what we say and not by faith alone. James referred the believers to the Bible with two illustrations, one of Abraham and one of Rahab. Both believed in God, but both had faith, and their faith was made complete through their actions for God. You see, beloved, in today's society, with an increasing hostility toward Christians and just everyone, believers need to do more than make a statement of faith. As followers of Christ, believers need to put their statement of faith into action to display and represent God's love for all mankind. With an increasing disparity between the haves and the have-nots, it is important now more than ever for believers to address the needs of those who have not and the concerns of those who have not and speak words of encouragement, words of hope, and words of love. In this particular lesson, and we go to that first verse, which is verse 14, it makes it plainly. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? It may be helpful to note that the literary construction of this part of James is one of proposition supported by argument and then summarized by conclusion. The proposition opens up with a pair of rhetorical questions, the first of which literally says, suppose a man says he has faith. This is quite different from James wording it. Suppose a man has faith. To actually have faith versus saying you have faith are two entirely different things. In other words, to say you have faith and actually having faith are not the same. The second rhetorical question today should be worded: this kind of faith claims faith without works can't save him, can it? Of course, the correct answer is no, as James will demonstrate in the following verses. Now I'm going to read verse 15, 16, and then 17. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, it is, have not works, is dead, being alone. This proposition continues with a hypothetical example, employing hypothetical people, such as a naked brother or a naked sister, indicating that someone is in dire straits or someone has a desperate need, reinforced with the supporting phrase, destitute of daily food. That's why he used that phrase, destitute of daily food, the common phrase. And you would say, depart in peace, meaning in essence, go your way, go find someone else to give you what you need. I care, but there's nothing that I can do for you. Go and be filled, just like you're supposed to do that on your own. Other similarities or examples or responses might be, God helps those who help themselves. Or the even colder, you got yourself into this mess so you can get yourself out of this mess. You see, such words come from a faith that is useless and a faith that is dead, which is the plain sense of the word. James is saying here is not to say you have faith, but to show you have faith. What good is faith like that? James asked that question. In other words, what good is a faith that's dead? For many, Paul and James have put faith and works at odds, and too often the argument has been framed as if one must overtake or have a choice of one or the other. Some will say, I'll have faith, but I won't show my works. And others will say, I got works, but I don't show faith. In reality, they were talking about two types of faith, only one of which is alive, while the other is dead. James wants us to understand today that one cannot just simply claim faith and have no works, no action, to show the faith that you have. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God. Thou dost well. The devil also believes and trembles. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Having stated this proposition with rhetorical and hypothetical questions that beg an obvious answer, James next argues the case via a fictional debater. Person A has faith without works or without deeds. Person B has faith with deeds. From person A, James asks for evidence of their faith. He claims to possess and reminding them that even demons can make that claim. Person B, the evidence of faith speaks for itself. The deeds are the evidence. The apostle leaves no place for a religion that is mere mental acceptance of truth. Now, he uses two people to illustrate this point even closer. Let's look at verse 21, 22, and 23. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with its works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed upon him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. It would be both normal and expected for any Jew talking about faith to mention Abraham. Both Paul and James describe God's calling Abraham. You'll find it in Romans 4 and 9. God calls Abraham righteous because of his faith. James here revisits the familiar details of Abraham's works, offering Isaac on the altar by faith. Activity, trusting in God, even if it meant cooperating with God while he was against his own promise and action, then we're never separated. The one flows naturally from the other. James was saying that Abraham's obedient work, a tangible act of faith, in putting Isaac on the altar and being willing to sacrifice even the son of promise at God's command, was a fulfillment of the scripture. And he understood that this was James's reference to Genesis in 15 and 6, when God reckoned and righteousness of Abraham's faith in the seemingly impossible covenant promised of countless generations born to an elderly couple. This son, Isaac, had been promised to this old couple. Why would God, after making such a promise, ask Abraham to sacrifice this son? But nevertheless, Abraham's obedient action showed forth his faith. When Abraham proved his faith with his works of obeying God and being willing to sacrifice him, that's why he was called a friend of God. Look at verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Having made this proposition with questions, illustrations, and an example, and having presented an argument with the Old Testament, James made an early conclusion prior to making yet another argument from the Old Testament. It is this statement which too many have pulled out of context, his carefully constructed words, cause problems and confusions through the centuries. Such approaches to interpretations of scripture are simply poor hermeneutics. James made a parallel argument, which also must remain within the context of his apostle or his epistle, regarding being a hearer of the word versus being a doer of the word. Not the same. Hearers, doers, not the same. Saying you have faith, showing forth your faith, not the same. Look at verse 25. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, which she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. James next appealed to the opposite type of character from the Old Testament for Exhibit 2. Of this argument, part of his presentation, some might feel as if they cannot relate to the head of the Jewish nation or the head of someone who is more outstanding than Abraham. Abraham, the father of all nations. What about an example from the opposite side of society? What about an example from the other side of the tracks? You see, Abraham demonstrated both faith and works, but also so did Rahab, and she was a prostitute. This unlikely pair shared both differences and similarities. One was a Hebrew, the other was a Gentile. One was called by God, the other originally destined for destruction. One was a man, the other was a woman. One was the father of faith, the other a lowly prostitute. One went through a long-term process of interacting with God and proving his faith. The other only had hearsay to guide her quick thinking. For similarities, both are foreign. Both showed hospitality to strangers. You'll find it in Genesis 18, 1 through 5, Joshua 2 and 1. And both became ancestors of Jesus. You'll find it in Matthew 1 and 2, and Matthew chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 5. Rahab took her place in history next to Abraham because she had faith in God and acted on her faith. A simple but profound lesson that is completely different but yet the same. For both of them showed forth the faith through their action, their love for God. And that's what it's all about, beloved. We, no matter who you are, you can be on the one side of the tracks or you can live on the other side of the tracks, high society or what is called low society. But all can show forth their faith through their action. Verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Here, James makes his second parallel conclusion, creating a second passage that many after him will neatly clip from the clearer for a clearer understanding of the context. Here, James wants us to understand, just like the body without a spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. We can all relate to a body without the spirit. As I've always said before, you're not a body with a spirit. You are a spirit that lives in a body. Let me say that again. You're not a body with a spirit, beloved. You are a spirit that lives in a body. When the body dies, the spirit goes on. And the body without the spirit is dead. We bury that. We have a funeral and we bury the body. But the spirit goes on. And he wants us to understand the same thing about faith without works. James makes a second parallel conclusion, creating a second passage that many after him will neatly clip from this clear context and use to make claims that do not square with either. This complete argument on the whole counsel of God from both testaments. What we have in this comparison here, Abraham and Rahab, is not a contrast of faith over against works. The point is that faith by itself is dead, much the same as a body without a spirit is dead. The concept of faith without works is so easy that even demons can do it. Even a demon can say, I have faith. No lifestyle change is needed, nor any sacrifice is required to simply say, I have faith. No comparison is necessary. No giving of time, no treasure, no talent is expected from you. Most Americans claim to be Christians, but how many live Christian lives? Many attend church, some occasionally, some periodically, but what are they doing during the rest of the time that they're not in the house of God? How much faith is being exercised by the millions of people who claim to have faith and call themselves Christians? Darkening the doors and the doorways of churches only on Christmas and Easter. We have occasional Christians who come to church at Christmas and Easter, and then they got the nerve to call themselves Christians. They never darken the door of a church at any other time. They never support the church with their funds. They never support the church with their talent or their time. But yet they got the nerve to call themselves Christian. And they got the nerve to even tell you they belong to a church. With no, this is what this is all about. How James is saying, how can you claim one thing without the other? How can you claim to be a member of a church and you don't support it? You never come to it. You never give of your tithe, of your talent, of your time. How can you claim to be a Christian and you come to church whenever you feel like it? There are many Sundays that people come to church who are so sick, they can barely make it, but they try their best to get to the house of God. And bless God, we got folk that will wake up with a hangnail and find a reason not to go to church. But you call yourself a child of God. You call yourself a Christian. This modern adage holds for that something is something just because it's there. For instance, just because I'm standing in a garage doesn't mean I'm a mechanic. Just because I'm standing in a bakery doesn't mean I'm a baker. You can't claim to be one thing without having the essence of that. Perhaps Christians would do well to cease and desist from justifying their absence or lack of compassion instead of beginning and wants to turn their life over to Christ, make a full commitment to him, and begin to live the life that is expected of a child of God. You see, in this life, beloved, there are many times that we claim we're one thing and we'll do another. But what James here clearly states that you cannot call yourself having faith and you do not have works. There are many people who will come up to you during the course of the next few months or the next couple of months. We're going into the holiday season. And there are going to be many people who are going to be asking for you to give. Now, you can't give to everybody, but there should be something within you. There should be something about you. See, James says, look, one of your Christian brothers or one of your brothers or sisters is without clothes. They're starving. They're without home. Their house caught on fire. The house got destroyed during the storm. And you learn of their need. And so you go to them and say, I believe God can supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That don't help nobody. It might sound good, but it don't help nobody. Amen. Then we got this one. How about this one? After they tell you all that is going on, they're starving, they have no food, they have no place to live, we got the nerve to say, and I'll pray for you. That don't help nobody. Of course, it's always good to pray. Man ought always to pray. But how can you help a starving man by praying? Amen. Somebody answer that question. I have faith that God can give you clothes. I have faith that God can give you food. I have faith that God will do something that will open doors for you. You're standing right there. How come you can't open a door for them? Why are you waiting on God to help them when you're standing there? You're God's representative. Why can't you open the door? Why can't you make a way? I know the Lord gonna make a way for you. Yeah, you can make that way. If you see someone who is thirsty and tell them that I believe God gonna give you water. Jesus said that if you give a cup of water in his name, you will not lose your reward in heaven. That comes from Matthew 10 and 42. James says the same thing here. He says that when you are standing before Christ in heaven and he asks you how you have helped those who were in need, it is not going to be a satisfactory answer to say, well, I had faith that God would help them. I had faith that you'd help them, God. I believe, God, that you would take care of them. He will say to you, you should have helped them. You should have met their need. On that day, all the faith in the world will not be profitable. You need works. On that day, faith will be useless, which is exactly what we read in this lesson in James, the second chapter. I want all of us to contemplate that as we go forward this week. Because with works of faith, there is power. With works of faith, there is victory. With works of faith, there's joy. With works of faith, people can turn their lives around. With works of faith, it can open doors for people to bring them out of the disparity of what they're going through. As I said earlier in this lesson, with the situation being as it is today, the haves and the have-nots, if we ever needed to have or to show forth our faith is right now. There are so many churches. There are so many Christians. We should be able to move the needle on what's going on in our society, in our communities, in our churches, and in our homes. We got to have faith that is working. And a faith that is alive, and a faith that is shown forth by the deeds that we do. Faith without works is dead, beloved, and works without faith is dead. You can't have one without having the other. Let us remember that they go hand in hand as we go forward in this lesson, as we go forward in our lives. Let us remember the importance. You see, here James creates a dialogue with someone who asserts that he has works without faith. At first glance, it would appear that the person in this passage holds the position that James declared later in the text. James ultimately wants to get to the fact that faith is shown by deeds of faith. Here, we must understand that there are many people who mistake that. For James, the two can't be divided, which makes the following easy to digest. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. I thank you for listening to us tonight for this particular Bible study. Of course, we have always heard that faith without works is dead, but I didn't want to go this week without bringing this lesson forward, because we need to hear that today. We need to hear that as children of God, we need to put forth our faith through our works. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you tonight. We thank you, God, for this lesson. We pray, God, as children of God, as we grow and mature in the faith, that we will begin to use our faith in our works. Father, we pray for those who are hungry. We pray for those who are thirsty. We pray for those who are war-torn right now. We pray for those who are going through for one reason or another. And God, if we can be a help to anyone, we pray, God, that you will strengthen us, that we be able to help those who find themselves less fortunate. For by the grace of God, it could have been us. And Father, we pray now, God, that as we go through, as we help those who cannot help themselves, that you will continue to bless them and us as we show forth our faith through our works. Father, we pray for the churches everywhere. We pray that they will become stronger, that they would be the churches that you would have them to be, that they would teach the solid gospel of Jesus Christ, that we will all come running crying, what must we do to be saved? Father, we thank you tonight for this lesson. We pray, God, that the lesson will sink deep down in our souls, that we'll never forget the goodness of your mercy and of your grace. Father, we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Beloved, I thank you for listening to this small lesson tonight. Don't forget, fourth Sunday of each of this month, we will be having 157th anniversary of First Baptist of Holly Springs. Our special guest is Reverend Otis Byrd. He's going to be bringing the message, and we're going to have a wonderful time in the Lord. We want you to come and be a part of that. Also, don't forget to tell somebody about First Baptist of Holly Springs. Our regular Bible study is Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can call that number, area code 845-241-9839. And you can be a part of the Bible study of First Baptist of Holly Springs. We pray that you will have a great week. Continue to give God the glory. And don't forget that faith without works is dead. God bless you. Have a good night.
Do you really know he's real?